Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. We are Jeff and Tara Mattson, a husband and wife team who is shrinking the integrity gap in our own lives and helping others do the same. I'm a leadership and organizational development coach, and Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We believe that if you have a following, you are a leader, and how you lead matters. Whether you are leading in the home, work, or community, we are bringing you biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom to help you in every relationship that matters most to you. None of us do this perfectly, but we are leaning into the reality of our humanity and profound wisdom of grace. I just wanted to take a moment to speak to all you females out there who are leading in a place of influence or with a title, maybe in business, in nonprofits, or in ministry, and you're looking for a place for a mentor, a coach, someone to come alongside you in a confidential space that can help you really navigate the challenges you are facing as a female leader. We are passionate about helping leaders live with integrity here at Living Wholehearted. And integrity is more than just doing the right thing when nobody's looking. It's about bringing all of who we are, our minds, our bodies, our hearts, our souls, before God and before others. And this takes great intentionality. In fact, these cohorts are a slow and steady drip within the context of 10 to 12 intentional leaders from around the country, where you get to have individual coaching that's very customized to you and your leadership, helps you understand your story, your wiring, and your limitations, and learning to live within your design, as well as what is toxic or what is healthy leadership look like in your systems. And you get to have group sessions with our executive coaching team, that includes me. And you also get to have two-day retreats out in the Willamette Valley in Oregon. It is spectacular here. In fact, some people say they sign up for our cohorts just to be able to come out to Oregon because it's incredible terrain out here. We would love to have you if you are a female leader looking for a community, a coach, and a place to really grow. Sadly, women often don't have the same access to leadership development as men do in the workplace. And so we want to provide this for you. Maybe you're an emerging leader who is longing for a place where you can unpack the desires of your heart and to do this well so you don't become one of those leaders that burns out down or has a moral failure or is living outside of your concentric circles and your priorities and trying to wrestle with juggling, how do I do life at home and in my call? Or maybe you're a seasoned leader who just needs a place to be able to unpack all the things that you've been carrying all these years and to really make sense and meaning to grieve and process so that you can run your race, that you can finish your race well. Wherever you're at in the spectrum of your leadership, this cohort is for you. And we're so excited to be able to come alongside you. Applications are now open in the month of May. Our next women's cohort, which will start in July and it runs for a year. More details, go to livingwholehearted.com/cohort and you can apply there today. Today, we want to talk about what women need to know before they consider having a divorce. There are a lot of confusing messages, especially in the church, about divorce, whether to have a divorce, is it biblical, is it not? It's hard because marriage is meant to be a beautiful image of God's covenant to his people. What the Bible calls the bride of Christ. We see this marital covenant reflected throughout scripture, and we are for it, and we're all about helping people get there. And we are wanting, especially in our counseling practices, to help people who have been through some really difficult places in their marriages see restoration and healing. I spent decades helping good and hard marriages heal and repair. However, restoring a marriage where trust and commitment have been violated over and over and over does require two parties. And there are just times when a spouse has to choose divorce because of unrepentance or repeated adultery or abuse. Many times women stay because they are unsure that they can survive financially and out of the fears of all the things that what could that can mean for their kids. Oftentimes leaders in the church are unsure how to help these women with practical steps. And though men can find themselves in this very same situation, for the sake of clarity, we're going to be talking mostly about women today.
Well, we have Amy Oliver with us today of Healing House Solutions. And Amy knows what it's like to feel stuck in an unhealthy marriage and not see a financial way out. As a licensed realtor, Amy began by helping women in similar circumstances evaluate whether to keep or sell a family home, taking into consideration not just the financial, but the emotional aspects of that decision. With the addition of training in divorce financial analysis, she guides and advocates for women as they assess their full financial picture from budgets, assets, liabilities, child, and spousal support needs. Amy, it's really great to have you here today.
So good to be here. Thank you.
Well, Amy, there's so much we can dive into about your personal story. We want to talk mostly about Healing House Solutions today, but tell us a bit about your story and how it is related to the piece of your leadership and your contribution to the greater church right now.
I'd love to. So I'm a journaler. So I went back and just kind of looked through a Bible study journal I was writing at the time I was separated from my husband. And I was doing Priscilla Shire's Gideon study. It's called Your Weakness, God's Strength. And if there was a hashtag for my life, it would be Amy, Your Weakness, God's Strength. And so through that study, I was doing it with a group of friends. And even though I was with women I loved and who loved me, they didn't know what was going on in my family. So Gideon, he's a guy who's living at a time in Israel where there's a lot of chaos and fear because they're being constantly attacked. And an angel finds Gideon hiding in a cave, just doing the best he could do to survive. And Gideon felt weak and tired and weary from a battle to literally get food on his table. And an angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and he says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And I so related to Gideon's response when he said, "Sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us?" And my response in that season was the same, like, "Lord, why is this happening to my family?" I was a follower of Jesus. I was a leader of a ministry. I was a stay-at-home mom with two girls, and I was a wife praying for her family. And yet there were things out of my control that were threatening to destroy our family. So as I continued looking back through that Bible study journal, I was reminded just God slowly reassured me that he loved me. And even though I felt too weak to keep fighting, he was in the battle with me. But there were things that I had kept hidden out of a sincere desire to respect my husband and protect our privacy, but those things were not honoring to God or to our marriage. I needed to have the courage and faith that God was going to be with me, even as I started being honest with myself, with a few other safe people, and started to verbalize what the difficult realities were and what the destructive patterns were that were affecting my marriage. And there's this particular question in that Bible study. I think it really just spoke to where my heart was in that season. And the question was, describe what you are weary from, yet you are committed to do despite your exhaustion. And my answer was, my marriage and my family are crumbling around before my eyes, yet I'm going to keep my focus on Jesus. And so what I learned in those days studying Gideon and what I love to help women discover is that God isn't going to leave me alone in a cave. He isn't mad at me or condemning me because of what's going on in my family. That God loved me regardless of what was going to happen in my marriage. And yes, marriage is sacred and holy, and I 100% believe God can restore marriages, no question. But the reality is that not every marriage survives, even though it's been prayed and fought for. And God cares for people. He cares for women in destructive marriages a lot more than he cares about a marriage staying intact because their safety and security are his priority. And I allowed God to enter that part of my story. It's a story where my marriage did end after 20 years in divorce, but I did experience miraculous healing restoration, not of my marriage, but of my heart. And divorce does not define me. My identity in Christ does. But now I have this opportunity to use that part of my story to encourage and advocate for others who are fighting a battle that may lead to separation or divorce. But my passion and my privilege is I walk alongside them as they have been fighting on their own for years. And they are afraid to tell others because being honest feels uncomfortable. And they're afraid of what people are going to think, particularly in the church where divorce is not the most acceptable outcome. But like Gideon, they're worried about practical things like getting food on the table. And so what my hope is by sharing my story, by sharing my experience, by sharing my expertise, that I can help women and churches resource women with like practical financial guidance so that they know they have a choice. And so that's just a little bit about my story.
Amy, thank you for sharing your story. Yeah. And I know that a lot of listeners have just, well, you have their heart here right now as they're going through some of these things. And you've mentioned a couple of the common fears that women have that may be facing divorce, separation or divorce. And you're talking about how other people in the church, or if they're coming from a Christian environment, are looking at them, other pieces. Speak to the other common concerns that women have that are facing separation and divorce, Amy.
Yeah, so I think the most common question I get from women is, can I keep my house? I think there's this sense of like, this is where my family lives, my children have grown up, my community is close by. And so there's this fear around a home. Like as a realtor, I see that a lot. Like homes are so important, right? And there's also this fear that they're just not going to be financially able to make it. And I think that fear comes from a lack of understanding that there's actually a system in place to ensure that people are provided for. That's what, divorce laws or separation laws are about. They're actually about providing protection and financial guidance for women, if that makes sense. So I think once people start to understand the realities, like that this is going to be okay, that yeah, you may be able to keep your house. There's lots of ways to look at that. Or the financial realities become less of a like unknown to a known, then they can start feeling more confident. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, you're answering it, but I'm going to kind of take it to the next tier. You know, so often these women, like you said, you're a leader, you're in your community, well-respected, all your friends and family are loving you. But a lot of these women are living in this isolation in secrecy mm-hmm. place. Maybe their counselor knows, like they're maybe starting the process of counseling. But I think the biggest question that people ask who haven't walked with a woman is, why does she stay? Like, what are the things that are pulling at her that keeps her? One of them is her house and her family intact, her community. Like there's kind of a trade-off. Is there any other thing that's pulling at these women that I think is important for our listeners, whether they're coming alongside these women or whether this is the woman listening? Why does she stay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it comes back to wanting to respect her husband and respect their family and not tell what's really going on. So there can be a level of denial, or they can minimize the problems and think like it's not that bad. But if I could, kind of what I've seen happen as I've walked alongside different women is I kind of have seen what I call the four A's. And the four A's are the destructive patterns that I see over and over in marriages that are creating these dynamics. And those things are addiction, adultery, abuse, and abandonment. And those are hard things to talk about. They're hard things to face. And they're hard to know what to do with. And so I think a lot of women stay because they don't know how to get out of that either cycle or back to the financial situation. How can they separate financially in a way that allows those destructive patterns to be addressed, right? Because it's hard to separate the two, I guess.
It's really hard to separate the two. And especially if there's years of denial and minimization, that actually is a signal of trauma. We minimize anybody who's going through trauma, and the four A's that you recognize are all part of the trauma impact. but dismissing, it's not that bad. When we're healthy and we acknowledge, we can say, this is not good. We need help. But when we constantly are like, yeah, that's not that bad. Those people over there have it worse, or it's not that bad, and we justify. So that is one of the things that keeps us in a cycle. You know, I think it may be important. Let's just jump in real quick so people understand, what are you doing for these women? What is Healing House Solutions? And when you talk about this financial part, what do you actually come in and do and help these women with?
Yeah, great question. So I work as what's called a certified divorce financial analyst, and I'm not the only person that has the certification. People across the country have it. And we are trained to look at the financial situation of a family. And it starts with the most basic thing is, what is your budget? Like, what do you need to live? What is your house payment? What are your bills? But to get a good sense of what that looks like, and I don't want anyone to feel shame if you're like, I don't know what my budget is. Most people don't, honestly. We just kind of live within our means, but we don't think about those like specifics. But once you get a sense of what your budget is, you kind of know what your needs are. Then we look at, what are your assets? So do you have a home? Do you have retirement accounts? Do you have savings accounts? Like, what financial assets do you have to be able to provide for your family, either during a time of a legal separation or in the case of a divorce? Those are things that might need to be divided. And people think about that a lot. Like, how would we divide our assets? And then we also look at things like, what's coming up in your future? You know, are you right now a stay-at-home mom? And do you want to think about maybe doing a part-time job? Or what are you going to need to generate in terms of income, whether that's through the family's income that you now have, or adding an additional part-time job, or if in the case of divorce, child and spousal support, like, what would that look like? And I think for a lot of women, the fear is they don't know their financial situation very well, and they are afraid to look at it, because what if it tells them something they don't want to hear? Like, you might need to sell a home, you might need to get a job, something like that. And so I think that what I do at Healing House Solutions is I walk through a process with women. It typically takes 6 weeks or so, just to help educate them on their financial situation, give them empowerment because they understand it, and then encourage them, okay, what is the next healthy step for your family? And they'll know how they can do that from a financial perspective. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's great to hear about the practical applications that you bring in Healing House Solutions. You know, so many of our listeners are going to come from faith communities. What do you wish that faith leaders in their churches and in this parachurch organizations that would be connected to women and families, what do you wish that they knew about what you do and who you are?
Such a great question. I think what I would want them to know first and foremost is I'm not a champion of divorce or out trying to talk people into those kinds of things. And that the women that I walk alongside have been fighting silently for not weeks or months, but years. Once they get to the point where they're ready to get this deep into the discussion, they've tried it all, basically. And I also want leaders and church leaders, paraministry leaders to know, like, it's okay that you don't know the details, because why would you? If you haven't experienced it, you wouldn't know. And so what I'd encourage is to create and look for resources that you can bring into your community so that you can continue to be a shepherd while someone else that might be a financial advisor can help with the financial piece, or a realtor can speak to the house piece. But like, don't try and do it all, because there's people with the expertise and the experience to be able to kind of walk alongside people as well. And what I always encourage my women and the people I talk with is, build a team. You need a team of people. You need the friends who are going to walk alongside. You need the financial side of it. You may need an attorney at some point, but you want to have a team of people. And what I would tell churches is just help build a team so that you're ready when women come to you and need this kind of support.
Mm. I love it because we always talk about how a healthy leader, a wholehearted leader, knows their limits and they can stay in their lane. And part of that's just even not moving beyond our expertise. And so often, even the greater body of Christ have too many expectations for our spiritual leaders, and they think they're experts on everything. And so it's not that leaders don't want to not help. It's just the best kind of healthy leader is saying, I can be this spiritual mentor for you, prayer warrior for you. But sometimes it's also giving people permission to go talk to someone like you. It's not a formal, like they don't need our permission, but there is this, in especially certain communities, in denominations, there's a respect and a feeling like, is it okay for me to go talk to someone like Amy, to even look at my finances and even consider the idea of divorce? So I think that's really good wisdom. Know your limits and build a team. If you're the woman or helping someone who's going through this journey. Talk about kind of who calls you. Where is she at in the journey when she finally does give you a call or goes to your website, healinghousesolutions.com? You know, where is she at in the process?
Great question. So a lot of times she has seen a therapist. She's maybe done some work for a while and is starting to recognize that there's some unhealthy patterns. And someone in her life has maybe even told her, maybe you need to think about a therapeutic separation. So a time of healing for your family. And she may come to me at that point and be like, what would that even look like? What, if we lived in separate houses, how would we do that financially? Or who would pay the bills? Like the most basic of things. So sometimes that's when they come, when they're kind of considering this next step. But oftentimes I'm meeting with women way further down in the process, who maybe their husbands have already left or they have already consulted an attorney and they're getting legal advice or they're getting, maybe they're working with a mediator, but no one has sat down with them and just talked about the financial realities. And it's not, it can be embarrassing, it can be uncomfortable to talk about your financial realities, but as a financial analyst, but also as a realtor, I'm always up in people's business about their financial stuff. So it's not uncomfortable for me. And what I find is that women need an advocate. You know, attorneys, mediators, although there's some sort of advocate, but women need a financial advocate that can help them see, like, okay, here's your financial reality. Here's some options. And there's always options. You know, in most states, there isn't some sort of calculator that says, like, this is how much you get in spousal support, or this is how much you get in assets. Like, every state does it a little differently. But what I want people to recognize is there's options. And if you get creative around those options, you can find things that will work really well that you may never have thought of. And so my hope is that women get to me kind of earlier in the process so that they feel empowered with the information, so that when choices start getting thrown their way, they know what's important to them.
I love it. Jeff has a question coming that's going to take us a different direction. But before we go, can you explain maybe to our listeners the difference between a financial analysis? That's what you do.
Financial analyst.
And a lawyer and a mediator and a counselor. Like, what are all those people doing that they overlap in people's minds and they maybe just don't know?
Yeah, great question. So, and there's a download on my website, we'll get to that, but it has some stuff about building your team. But just in general, the therapist is there to process your emotions, and they are going to help you kind of evaluate like how you're feeling, what's really going on, and what the next steps are for your family. A mediator is a neutral third party that sits down with both spouses, and they're there to help you navigate and come up with some solutions. But they do not advocate for one party or the other. So it's client driven. You bring the ideas and the mediator helps you kind of work through those ideas to find a solution. An attorney, they are more involved in, like, they advocate for one person, but it's in the legal system, right? So they, for them to kind of get moving, they need to file for divorce most times. And so they're looking at kind of a longer term way to find resolution. And a lot of people need that. If you're in a situation where you're not being financially provided for, or there's any kind of like safety concerns, you need to go to an attorney immediately. But what a certified divorce financialist does, or at least the way I do it, there are people who do it as neutrals, but I just do it as an advocate for women. And my role really is to just take the financial situation or information and help make sense of it, and then help come up with creative ways to make that work. So every part of that team is important at various times, but that's the way that Healing House Solutions approaches the financial analysis piece of it.
Amy, from hearing you before and knowing you, I got to just say that you would be you describe situations that invigorate you as you fight and advocate for women. Obviously, this can go both directions. We are talking sure. about women in the situation here, but what I love is I've heard you describe yourself as being there seated across the tables in many cases, where men in this particular example and their attorneys are trying to take advantage, and you see through it because you know the law, you know the ins and outs, you can understand what she is entitled to, even though they are coordinating to set him up. And even in the subtle ways sometimes how this works, right, where they're trying to offer some sort of package to appease or satisfy for X number of months or whatever it might be, when in fact she's deserving and the law supports rights that are way beyond that. And I love that women, as you're listening to this, that Amy's the type of person that has the character and the competency not to be intimidated in those environments. Just describe that. Am I hitting that right? I mean, from what I know of you,
What I would say this is that when there has been a family system where one person has been more responsible for the financial situation than another, there can be kind of a power differential. Whether that was intentional or not, it can become a situation where a woman doesn't feel like she has the right to ask for things financially, particularly in cases where women haven't been working. And so, yes, there's times when I can come into a situation and help advocate to help her kind of gain the confidence and hopefully so that she'll learn to advocate for herself. Like, my goal is really to educate you so you can advocate for yourself. But there are situations where I will go into a mediation session with someone and kind of speak when they just aren't able to speak for themselves in that situation. And I do know the norms. I'm not an attorney, so I don't always know the particular law, but I know the norms and I know what to expect. And what the question I always ask women the very first time I meet with them is like, if you were going to tell me right now the best possible scenario of how this could turn out, what is it? And then she tells me, and then I can get a sense of like, what's important to her? Is it important that your kids can stay in this home until they get out of a certain school? Okay, let's advocate for that. Is it important that you stay home and be at home with the kids until they're a certain age? And so instead of looking at it of like, what do you deserve or what do you have a right for? I just think about what you need and what are you hoping for? And then how can we create a plan, a financial plan that may not hit all of your wants and needs, but certainly I'm going to advocate for what your heart's desire is for.
Yeah. And I think, again, just to remind people, we're talking about marriages where there's the four A's and it hasn't worked to do a lot of the both and conversations to try to meet each other and meet both needs. So they need an advocate at this point. But I can hear in just sitting with lots of people over the years, there's people going, well, I don't get it. She stayed home and he worked. That just doesn't seem equitable for her to get some of those assets. I mean, just from a financial place, he's been out there working 40, 60 hours a week, and she's been home eating bonbons and watching TV shows, apparently to certain people in their mind, right? So I'm thinking, can you set that straight a little bit? Maybe bring some clarity to anybody who might, again, in all just honesty, not recognizing or understanding what that might be like. How come it's equitable, or what equitability is there in when it comes to the law for a stay-at-home man?
Great question. Okay, so let's talk about what's called a marital asset. Okay, so marital assets are any assets that have become part of the family's assets during the time of the marriage. Okay, so say for instance, you got married, you're just out of college, you've gotten married, your husband goes to work, he's getting a 401k, you're at home taking care of a family, 100% of those assets that came in during your marriage are yours and 100% are your husband. Okay. It's not 50-50. It's 100-100. So when you look at the way to divide those assets, you do it in a way that's equitable for the people involved. In the state of Oregon, the way that we look at it is, what is the need? So back to that budget we talked about, and what is the ability to pay? What is the ability for the income coming in to be able to provide for the needs for the family when they're living separately or when they're divorced? And so while I can understand that confusion, because it does feel like, well, you didn't make that much money, but in reality, you provided an opportunity for your husband to go out and work, and it can go both ways, you know?
Yeah. And I feel for the woman or the dad, depending on who chose to stay home, because they put their career on the shelf for a little while, so they don't have the same starting point when we get to that divorce. So there's just a lot of factors that we have to think, especially those of us who are leading these couples, having recognition that it's more complex than maybe initially, or we just don't know what we don't know. So I appreciate you bringing clarity there, Amy. Okay.
And I do have one more thing I just think is important to think about too, and that is financial protection. So when a family has the four A's present, sometimes family resources are being used on these destructive habits or choices, and family resources can be wasted. And so sometimes it's important to get a legal separation to financially provide protection so that those funds aren't being used for stuff that isn't going to benefit the family long term. Does that make sense?
So, gambling, alcohol, drugs, sex addiction, those kinds of things. Okay.
Yeah. So, not only is this financial analysis important for what you're going to need, but it may be important to provide financial security and protection for families too.
Okay. Well, I would love, there's so many more questions, Amy. So there's maybe two that we can close with. One is, what do you wish that you knew now, how many years later being divorced? What do you wish someone would have said or helped you with at that time in your life? Just give a word of encouragement to those women who are at that place back then when you were not divorced yet, but in the place of kind of coming to some awareness that this is not getting better.
Yeah. I think the most important thing I wish women knew was that you're not alone. I hear a lot of times, like, I'm the only person that I know that's been divorced, but that isn't true. Even in Christian community, it's 50% of people get divorced, both in the secular community and the Christian community. So it's not any different anywhere. But also that there is hope and there is joy on the other side. And so while you're having to kind of start this battle, just be encouraged that there is an end point, and that I wish I had known then what I know now, that my family is actually in a really happy, healthy place. And my kids are really resilient and our family is able now to just kind of give back to others who are going through the same thing and share our experience and also our hope.
You can tell, Amy, you've done a lot of hard work, and it wasn't just a wish and a prayer, although prayer was a big part. So I just affirm that, and that's a great message to those that are listening that might be in a similar state right now. So you work in the state of Oregon, and if there is a leader or a woman in the situation who wants to learn about your services, how might they go about finding you?
Yeah, so the best way to find me is through my website. It's healinghousesolutions.com. And there is a contact me page there. I also offer a free discovery call for women who just want to learn more about what services we provide. And I do primarily work in the state of Oregon just because I understand the legal ramifications and the way things work here. But I could provide other kind of strategic consultation for women in other states, but that's the best way to find me. And there's lots of great information there to just kind of get people started, whether they work with me or someone else. It'll at least give you an idea of kind of the way you can move forward.
I just want to say that thank you for being a person that champions, that loves the Lord and that champions marriage, believes in it, but also is in the trenches for those allowances, very specifically that God in his love and care for us as his kids has provided for us, knowing that abandonment and unfaithfulness, adultery, but can harm his creation in such a way that he provided that out. And so you're stepping into those trenches, having walked with him through those trenches and now helping others. And I just want to compliment you and say thank you for being a person like that, Amy.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, and it's true for all of us leaders and those of us, if you have a following, you are a leader. So if you're a parent or look, but understanding our stories are often pointing us towards the call that God has for us. We have a unique empathy for the things that we've each gone through. And so you can hear that in Amy's story. And so if you are walking alongside others, or this is you, we just want you to know we're advocating for you. Amy is a part of our Greater Living Wholehearted team. Our counseling team works closely with Amy when we are walking alongside. So if you are in Oregon and you need specific trauma-informed good marital therapy or trauma-informed therapy to help you navigate abuse, addiction, adultery, abandonment, we're here to walk with you at livingwholehearted.com. You can check out our counselors there. And again, it's Amy Oliver at healinghousesolutions.com. That'll be on our show notes. And until next time, be the leader that you live.
This podcast is powered by Living Wholehearted, Courageous Girls, and the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us in this critical movement of shrinking our integrity gaps between what we preach and live.